Diplomatic relations between the United States and South Africa remain turbulent. We speak to a former diplomat to both the National Party government and the African National Congress government, Dr. Edward Minnie, who is now a professor with the University of North Georgia in Atlanta. Welcome, Dr. Minnie.
Thank you very much, Chris. It's good to be with you again and to be with your listeners as well.
You must have given this a great deal of thought as a diplomat, and you must have wished that you could have advised both sides or either side, at least, especially in the run-up to those talks and subsequently with official and unofficial visits. So if you could advise the U.S. government on the one hand and the South African government on the other hand, what would you be telling them?
Well, Chris, by way of introduction, I've never seen the relations, the diplomatic relations between the two countries at such a low point. Even during the dark years of apartheid, there was at least mutual respect, although disagreement about the policies. The history's there. Former South African ambassador was declared a persona non grata because of statements he had made on social media platforms about the U.S. government, that lacks decorum. And that's certainly one of the aspects that we should embrace when we represent our country abroad. In the case of the U.S., in any country, having diplomatic relations, we conduct our affairs with a certain decorum. And that's unfortunately has been lacking on the south of the South African representative. Of course, the South African Defense Force attaché was declared a persona non grata as well. That does not bode well. And I'm aware that the South African government has nominated a South African to represent South Africa here in the United States. But my understanding is that there's some baggage involved with this individual. And others maybe in cabinet. As it regards to their connection with MTN, which is now involved in a court case here in the United States, as you may well be aware of, Iran is the foremost country supporting terrorism. So it's a state sponsor of terrorism. It behooves the South African government to take that into consideration as it conducts its international relations abroad. And it's my understanding that we have, in terms of our foreign policy, we've embraced this stance of being kind of a neutral country. But actions and words don't seem to measure up. And we're all aware of the court case. I'm mentioning these things because it impacts our relations directly with South Africa, between South Africa and the U.S. And the court case that was launched in the ICJ against Israel, the sympathetic view towards Hamas and Hezbollah, which are declared foreign terrorist organizations. So that as background, how do we conduct our diplomatic relations with each other? I would say that the South African government should really take all these aspects that have been raised, especially during the most recent official visit by President Ramaphosa, matters that have been raised in public, and we are all aware of that, as well as in private, which I'm not privy to. And my question is, what have we done? What has South Africa done? And when I say South Africa, I'm referring to the South African government, not the South African people. When I talk about Iran, it's the Iranian regime, not the Iranian people. What has the South African government done with the information that was shared with them that is possibly hampering proper diplomatic and political ties and economic ties, academic ties, scientific ties? I recently read a report here in one of the news sources that the South African embassy in Washington, D.C. has been dysfunctional for a year already. So what are we doing there? What is South Africa doing there? you know, this is taxpayer money, and surely there should be accountability somehow or other. There should be transparency. So I would say to the South African government, Washington, D.C., London, Paris, now Berlin, Tokyo, these are very important political missions, diplomatic posts for South Africa. We should not underestimate the value of having strong diplomatic relations with each other, with the U.S. and South Africa. So, you know, I'm not sure who the South African government or the president has in mind to be sent our way here in D.C. as the new South African ambassador. But this has got to be somebody who represents all the interests of all the South Africans, not just a certain political narrative, not just ANC policy. And my understanding is that the ANC has lost support in amongst the South African electorate. I'm concerned about that. I'm concerned about how the ANC government is going to react towards an outright loss in the next general election. And I'm even more concerned about who's going to be taking over as the ruling party at that stage. You know.
Dr. Minnick, may I interrupt you there? I was just going to ask you that, do you think the African National Congress would concede defeat at the ballot box?
That's a very real, very valid question, a very important question, Chris. South Africa's democracy, and for that matter, any country's democracy that has morphed, let's say, from, for lack of a better description, autocracy to democracy, which is now we are now in year number 30, they have not lost an outright election yet, although they've come in just under the bar, if I can put it that way. I think it was 38% to 39% of the vote. But the true test of a democracy is, will the ruling party accept at least twice a defeat and acknowledge the defeat and move forward? So the true test for the South African democracy is still waiting for us. And I'm hopeful that the ANC would peacefully accept a complete defeat. But more importantly, that we would have a ruling party that will take care of all the South African interests and drop this this refrain that comes out of the EFF, which is the third largest political party, which is racist in nature, the way that they go about their business in stadiums packed full of people towards another racial group, towards the whites. This has to come to an end.
Dr. Minnick, which party has the ability to govern? It's easy to be an opposition party, but as we have seen in the government of national unity, morphing from an opposition party to being in the ruling party is not such a simple thing.
It's not a simple thing. You know, Chris, the ANC traditionally has been a liberation organization. They never really fully transformed into a political party the way that we would expect it to be. And so who would take over from them? You know, we have a government of national unity, which I think is really a misnomer. It's more a coalition government. And we just need to look at Italy and Israel as two examples of what happens to coalition governments. There are hairline cracks and these grow bigger and then they disintegrate and they have another general election of whatever nature. So, you know, you've got now the ANC and the DA, and they are ideologically in many ways opposed to one another. And so the question would be, is the DA capable of standing on their own? And again, looking after all the interests of all the South Africans, and really solidifying our position on the international stage. South Africa is a very important country on the African continent, but it looks like the current leaders have lost that perspective. And because of their myopic view, they support their own political narrative and, in fact, support their own interests. I mean, the corruption level is extremely high. As I said in my previous life, I mean, which Swiss banker would want to do business with a bank that is on shaky ground? They will wait for stability to manifest itself. South Africa is not anywhere close to that stability. So who's going to invest in South Africa? Who's going to do trade relations with South Africa? Now, we're part of BRICS, so are we embracing in our neutral stance China and not we, but South Africa, China and Russia? Or is the economic strength on this side of the Atlantic Ocean where we should be conducting full diplomatic relations with mutual respect for each other?
Dr. Mini, I don't know if you have been following the Matlonga Commission hearings, where we are now hearing about this dark triad of tenderpreneurs, crooked cops, captured politicians. The ANC has a lot to lose by losing power.
Yes, hence the corruption factor here. I understand that, and it's almost like we, South Africa, is moving into sort of a gangster state, situation. It's very unfortunate that the South African Police Service, that the law enforcement in South Africa, has lost its capability and its capacity to maintain law and order and bring people to book, to irrespective of the position that they may hold, public or private. And unfortunately, the tone is set at the top and of any organization, of any government. And if we have corruption at the very top, that doesn't bode well for the rest of the organization or the country in this case. I'm sad to see that South Africa is slipping in that direction. I always have hope, and my hope is that we can still correct that boat and get it on the right path. But it's going to take a lot of effort. And I would, you know, from the bit that I read about the DA, it behooves them to take maybe a stronger stance, to embrace moral and ethics in a more visible way, so that people are longing for that in South Africa. They're longing for good leadership, strong leadership, excellent governance. And we just need to look at the provinces, the nine provinces. Which province is doing the best? And then the question is, why are they doing the best?
Now, Dr. Mini, if you were a diplomat in South Africa and you had to write one of those reports for whichever country you were representing, what would you be putting in that report? What would be the advice be to the country you're reporting back to?
So in the case of the United States, the U.S. has not appointed an ambassador to South Africa, and I think there's more to it than just meets the eye. And the diplomatic relations are being conducted by way of a chargé d'affaires at the U.S. embassy in Pretoria, and that sends a political message as well to the South African government. In the case of the U.S., we've just recently declared three drug cartels as foreign terrorist organizations. Antifa domestically has been declared a domestic terrorist organization. When that happens, the full force and might of the federal government kicks in to mitigate those threats. We would like to see similar actions launched by the South African government to get a handle on the level of corruption throughout the government, which includes the SAPS, the triad that you're talking about. And it's going to be tough because we're talking about people making a lot of money off bad actions, bad transactions between drug smugglers using South Africa as a thoroughfare to other markets, and it's going to take really strong leadership to mitigate those threats. So I would say from our perspective here in the US, if we can see positive steps being made by the South African genuine earnest attempts, and the US government stands ready to assist, however, to fortify, to strengthen the South African government's efforts in mitigating those threats, in working against the corruption. Of course, there's money involved. There are transactions involved, electronic transactions, and the US government has the capability, by way of their embassy in South Africa, to assist the South African government in may I mention it by name, in addressing the training camps that ISIS have in South Africa, on South African soil. What message is South Africa sending to the US when they know very well about the anti-terrorist stance that the US government has worldwide? So I would say from the US perspective, we want to see positive steps in that direction. From the South African government side, they have in President Trump here somebody who shoots straight and maybe rough around the edges, call it what you want to, it doesn't matter. But what he does is in the interests of the United States government and its people. You know about all the measures being taken to protect the homeland here, the open borders, which South Africa suffers from, open borders. People are just coming in droves. Those people suck on the social security system, the healthcare system that is being upheld by taxpayer money. This is an unsustainable model to have an open border as such. So that's just one area, that can be addressed immediately. If we have an effective South African Defense Force or South African, I'm not sure what the new name is, the South African Defense Force, if it's effective and can maintain border control and help the immigration department exercise their authority by forcing people to go through legal means to immigrate to South Africa.
So, Dr. Meaney, sorry to interrupt you. I think there are no shortage of people giving the African National Congress advice. But have we seen its leader, its president, President Cyril Ramaphosa, who is also the president of the country, keen to act in the interests of the country rather than in the interests of his party?
No. From this side of the ocean, not. Taking care of his own interests, taking care of the ANC first and foremost, taking care of those that support him personally within the structure, yes. But taking care of the interests of all South Africans, I'm including black and white and all in between, no. That is not the picture that we are seeing on this side of the Atlantic. And again, it behooves President Ramaphosa to take that into consideration as he's governing South Africa, him and his party. These are not just empty words being spoken from the White House. These are serious words that were expressed to him and his delegation when they visited. And the strange thing for me is when President Ramaphosa returned to South Africa, there were noises from within certain quarters that he had won that so-called interaction in the Oval Office against President Trump. That is just complete flat nonsense from my perspective. That's not the reporting that we get on this side. And it's a shame to be to characterize that meeting as a winner-loser. It was, I think, the purpose of the meeting was really how can we fix this relationship between these two important countries. And it's just a shame to see. And I know there are traditionally anti-American sentiments in South Africa from within certain quarters, but I think those years have passed. We need to move forward with each other. The US is a mighty economic force, And we need to be part of the economic action that they have to offer. But the things that we touched on earlier need to be addressed by the South African government for us to be able to move forward.
Dr. Minnie, you've always been a lover of this country, but you have become increasingly pessimistic about its future. We spoke last time about how fragile the state has become. Where would you put South Africa now?
Yes. And again, it depends on each one's definition of what a failed state is, a failing state, a fragile state. During the research that I conducted this was in 2013, interviewed people across the color divide, across the political divide, across the gender divide. I concluded that at that time, South Africa was latently fragile, in the hope that, you know, that the strong points of the economy, of the political system may sort of correct course and solidify, and so we can move forward to a phase of greater stability. But honestly, in my opinion, we've moved from latent fragility to being very fragile. And I know the word failed has been thrown around. We are not a failed state, in my opinion, yet. We still have a somewhat limping but functional government, a bureaucracy. But the signals coming out of the bureaucracy is not very strong. It's not very positive. So how do we stem that? How do we stabilize this? Right. Again, it comes down to good leadership, good governance, and announcing. You know, this thing of splitting the population groups by way of the EFF. This is not good for South Africa. I mean, this is not tolerated in the Western Hemisphere by any stretch of the imagination. And what's being done about that from the ruling party side? So the strange thing is, you look at the recent test match between South Africa and Argentina. You look at the grandstand over there, the people. It was a beautiful sight to behold, to see that it's one nation, right? Happy, supportive, having a great time. I mean, that is a microcosm of what South Africa can be. That's why I say I always have hope, you know.
Do you have any news of the so-called Afrikaner refugees over there?
Yeah. Again, just from my perch, I think the term refugee, it was unfortunate to use the term refugee. Obviously, there are political connotations attached to that. I think that the sentiment is well meant from the U.S. government side. Listening to Julius Malema and his EFF chanting about the death to white people, this is not good. This is not good. And so this is an outreach, an attempt of sorts from the U.S. side to accommodate people that feel threatened. And hopefully, reports that I'm seeing is that they are settling down nicely, getting used to the American way of life. It's a transition that can take up to a generation. It just doesn't happen. We may speak the same language, but, you know, it's the chemistry that a person misses once you leave South Africa, the chemistry with South Africans, with your own people. And so you need to embrace the opportunity that's being offered on this side of the ocean. So whether one stays in South Africa or whether one leaves South Africa, there are challenges, different types of challenges, nevertheless challenges that one needs to embrace and make the best of. And so traditionally, South Africans are hardy people, and we do make a success whatever we attempt. That's, again, another reason why I say I remain hopeful for South Africa. But it's to your original question, Chris, it's slipping, it's moving in the direction of failure. And different iterations between latently fragile and failed. And somewhere on that spectrum, we're moving in the wrong direction in South Africa. So I wouldn't categorize it as failed. Failing for sure. When does it morph over to failed? When the bureaucracy collapses, when you no longer can pay for the water coming out of your taps, out of your faucets, and electricity is gone, and there's no more passport service, and so forth and so on.
Thank you very much, Dr. Minnie. That was Dr. Edward Minnie, former South African diplomat for both the National Party government and the African National Congress government, speaking to BizNews. Professor Minnie, of course, now is a professor at the University of North Georgia and in Atlanta. Tell us what you lecture in. You have such a long title.
Well, Chris, I direct a interdisciplinary bachelor's degree program in strategic and security studies, and we have 7 concentrations within this degree, that is cybersecurity, international affairs, history, modern languages, military science, national intelligence, and geospatial intelligence. And so within those 7 concentrations, I teach national intelligence. I develop the courses there. And if I may make a plug, next year, June, we have an International Association for Intelligence Education Global Annual Conference that we are hosting here at University of North Georgia on our Dahlonega campus. So if any of your listeners are interested, the theme is the convergence of AI, cyber, and intelligence on national security interests. And just visit
that
our website.
That sounds fascinating.
Just visit our website and you'll see the different themes and sub-themes which can attract a wide variety of an audience.
Thank you very much, Dr. Minnie. Speaking to BizNews, I'm Christine.
Thank you, Chris. All the best.